Blog Talk Radio. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today.
Alright, 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 alright. Shalom and good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Swear of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashaba, one of the teachers with the ISBHBK. I'm joined tonight by my brother, my friend, my colleague, my counselor, my coach, everything, life coach. Remember, I told you that last week. I was joined by the life coach, Banabad. Shalom, good evening, everybody. As you know, today is supposed to be Tazapot Tuesday. Tazapot Tuesday. Tazapot Tuesday. But the brother had to work the plantation this morning. You know, that's how we know the curses of Deuteronomy 28 are still apply to us, even as Israelites. Yeah, we still got to pay bills. We're still subject to debt. We're still subject to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. So the brother Tazapot had to handle that this morning. And this morning, Cooper, I cover you. I'm just doing tonight's class. So welcome once again to the show. As always, we do ask the work, the ISBHBK. Please go to ISBHBK.com. Please go to ISBHBK.com where you can kept up to date with the latest YouTube shows, the latest in Israel wear, the latest in street ambiance, and the latest of the high holidays and the events that might be taking place. And for the sisters, don't forget, there's a sisters blog called The Lily Pad that you can reach through the ISBHBK.com website. And it's something kind of dedicated more to the sisters. All right? It's dedicated more to the sisters for them to be able to reach out if you have questions, comments, inspirational stuff that you might be going through. Check out the Lily Pad, again, at ISBHBK.com. And remember, also on Sunday, don't forget that ISBHBK Houston also does a kids class that's dedicated just to the kids, you know, because not only does Trick love the kids, the Most High love the kids, and ISBHBK also loves the kids. So well-rounded. It's all well-rounded. And remember, there's an ISBHBK YouTube class broadcast 7 days a week. All right, 7 days a week, there's a class going on for anybody. So if you just need to get inspired, you need to get might be going through something, need some answers, ISBHBK YouTube channels are available. And as you know, hopefully if you're checking me out, we have for the going on 12 years now. We just passed a 12 year mark, and we also just passed our 1,000th show mark, going all the way back to March 22nd. 2010, we have Blog Talk, where we have various teachers from Banabai back in the day, myself, even Kawakab, the brother Harash, Sam Shawan, Awar. You can go check out all those classes, and just, if you want to catch up, you might be at work. You might be, if you're at work, driving a truck, driving a bus, or doing whatever, and you can slip an earbud. Now they got the earbuds that are wireless, so you might be able to slip an earbud in your ear and go ahead and check out the show and just listen. There's something to listen to besides the rhetoric of music, of whatever might be out there in the world. You can go and check us out, blogtalkradio.com, Swear the Truth, all right? So with that, we're going to continue from what we was going over my last Blog Talk class. My last Blog Talk class, we had just gone over the covenant, all right? When the Most High was establishing a covenant with the children of Israel at the Mount Sinai. And we went over Exodus chapter 19. We also went over Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. And we was kind of going through the Ten Commandments a little bit more in depth and looking at that and remembering the purpose of us going over it was to point out that these were the actual words that the Israelites had heard from the Most High, was what is known as the Ten Commandments. There was many more commandments, but this was the actual voice of God, the voice of the Creator, that we actually heard, that the Israelites actually was given the privilege, the honor that we actually heard. So I wanted to continue on that pattern a little bit more in dealing with, again, the voice of God, right, in dealing with the voice of God. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 15, and we're going to start at verse 26. We're going to jump back a little bit, all right? We're going to jump back a little bit and getting the importance about the voice of God. Why it's important, and then remember, in being set apart. Remember, this is part 9 of the set apart series. We know that the word set apart, the word holy, the definition of the word holy means to be set apart. So the Most High always wanted the Israelites to be set apart from the rest of the world. As we went through a couple weeks ago also, we was going over how Adam was set apart from the rest of the world, that the judgments of God, and that's the word I'm using now. Instead of saying law, statutes, commandments, but now the judgments of God, how God judges things, that was only given to the Adamites, and then after the flood, it was only given to the Israelites, of actually getting God's mind, of actually getting how God judges things. Everybody else, whatever you came up with, is what, as far as the nations, that's what y'all came up with, and God really didn't care. But he gave the Israelites to be the example and to be able to get and hear his judgments to help keep the earth at peace, to help keep the earth in order, help keep the earth in balance. Because now we can see how the earth right now is totally not in balance from climate change, from the animals going extinct, from the destroying of the forests, of the jungles, the producing of even things such as plastic. That plastic is not natural. There is nothing natural about plastic. But we see where it's been plagued and polluted and caused, again, the extinction of many animals, many fish. It's clogging everything. It's in every water source. Something that's man-made. It's by people, by us not going by the judgments of God. They're saying that from the pollution of plastic in the waters, because it doesn't disintegrate. It just breaks down into smaller, smaller particles to where a lot of fish that eat only plankton, they're mistaking the plankton or the plastic for plankton. So now they're eating this plastic. And we know plastic is from, is a derivative or derived from the oil. Now that's pumped up from the earth, the crude oil pumped up from the earth. And that there's so much pollution going on and there's so much consumption even on the almost damn near microscopic level that we're seeing where now even animals now are changing their sex. That now animals like such as dolphins now are becoming bisexual. That is against nature. That's against God, but from how the earth has not been maintained or kept in order so that there is peace. So now you, in keeping the judgments of God, there wouldn't be no more wars because everybody would have their own land. The Japanese would be in Japan doing their thing. There'd be no need to invade China. No need to invade the Philippines. No need to invade Thailand or Guam or for the Russians even to go and invade Ukraine right now. That everybody would have their land and they would have there would be peace. There wouldn't be war. So I know a lot of times for those who might be checking on the Hebrew Israelites, you hear the harshness and the brutalness, the when I say brutal, I mean the bluntness of how we come across without really understanding the message. So hopefully this class and my classes here will help bring across the understanding of when we say God's a racist. That's not just that he picked Israel to be the people that he gave his judgments to, but that every race would be happy living in their land under the law, statutes, commandments of God, following the example that was given to the Israelites, all right, that it's supposed to be a peace, not a hatred for one another, but that things would be in order.
No, I'm sorry. You know, it's like saying there's a greater expectation on those people than it would be the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like the Most High is not focusing on their hate. I said, you only have I known of all the people on the earth, so I have punished you for your iniquities. So, like the point you're making in the psalm is that the Most High had a greater expectation for them than the rest of the world. There's a lot that they could get away with that we couldn't because the law was given to us, and that expectation to us to live to a higher standard was what was expected of the Father, not so much the focus on the other nations and what they're doing or not doing, right?
Right. So in being set apart, by God only giving the Adamites at the time or the Israelites his judgments, how he judges things, that was setting us apart from how the rest of the world ran their lives. That the rest of the world, all the other nations, were totally ruled by their emotions, totally ruled by their senses, and that is not how the Most High wanted Israel to run their lives. That wasn't a good life that God wanted the Israelites to have. God wanted the Israelites to have a godly life, a truly, that a godly life would be the life of how he does things, just like in the prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. That there had to be an example of how does somebody do God's will? How do we do things the way God does things? Because when I go by my emotions, example, for eating pork. If I go up eating pork and I love eating pork, but God's law says that swine is unclean not to eat it, then how do I do that when my taste buds, I love pork. So the Israelites were supposed to be an example of how to live lives without bringing pork into the situation. Just keep it on a level like that. If it's somebody thinking that they're a man trapped in a woman's body, a woman trapped in a man's body, how do I overcome my emotions of how I feel in my senses to now do things right? How do I understand what boundaries are? Because as I keep going over, when you're just ruled by your emotions and that's the only righteousness you know, again, when you're telling people to live by their emotions and do what feels right to them, you're saying this to people who will be classified today as pedophiles, as child molesters, that if that's what feels good to them and in their heart of hearts, again, I'm going to keep using the same example. This grown-ass man, in his heart of hearts, knows he is sexually attracted to another four-year-old boy. And he just knows this in his heart. And he knows in his heart that to bring an animal into the intercourse that he's having with this four-year-old child, that if he's following his heart, like everybody says, like what the world says, follow your heart, follow what you feel. You say this to people who that's where his moral standard is. That's where his knowledge of right and wrong comes from. So that if everybody is allowed to do that, which we see in the world today, everybody goes by their emotions and what they feel is right. And there's no barometer. There's no boundary. There's no level to where it can go if it's about everybody living, you know, their best life. So, again, for this child molester, him living his best life will be what? Becoming a Boy Scout master? Living next door to a school? He'd be living his best life. And is that what God really intended when he said, I wanted him to live life and live life more abundantly? Or was it to live a godly life and live a godly life more abundantly under his judgments, under his statutes? So with that, again, picking up from where we left off last week, we're going to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26.
Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Right. So this was Exodus chapter 15. So this is after the Passover. This is after we passed again through the Red Sea, and obviously before we got to the Mount Sinai. So this at this point here, we were complaining about not having any water. All right. That I forget how long the journey was. Here we're about 2 months outside of the Exodus. And remember, the way the Lord had us leave Egypt, we didn't bring any provisions. We didn't bring any, we don't know how long this journey is going to be, so we got to make sure we pack this and pack that. And on some real survivalist type of wisdom that would be used, leave. Matter of fact, and the lamb that y'all cooked the night of the Passover, don't bring none of that with you. You're not bringing any leftovers. Burn that. Only thing y'all going to take after the Passover might be some unleavened bread. But and don't stack. You'll need extra water. You'll need extra this. You need extra that. None of that. Y'all go. So it's about the second month, and now we are in our senses, we're dying of thirst. In our senses, we thirsted. And we got to these wells, and they were bitter. So we're complaining. And now this was the message that was given to us, again, from Moses. And where he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. And I have this underlined and highlighted that, again, righteousness is not what seems good to us. Again, because you got to realize who you're talking to. If we will listen to diligently unto God's voice and will do that which is right in his sight, not in our own. If we do that which is right in his sight, again, according to how he judges things, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, the Lord said, I will put none of those diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And this is the Lord speaking to the whole nation, that the reason that we went through those plagues in Egypt, and those things happened, was one to show that the Most High God that chose us, his power is above any other power. His power is above any of the magic, technology, or what have you. If you want that good health, then diligently obey the word of God, and he will be our protection. Like we was going over last week, he married the nation of Israel. I will be your protector. I'll be your provider. I'm going to give you special things. There's no need. The only special thing I want from you as again, to the nation of Israel as being my wife, just obey me. Only thing that you got to do special for me, you don't have to bring me nothing else. Things my way. See how I judge things, and then you judge things the same way I judge things for being my wife. And I will provide everything else. But as we know, we got to that point where we kept wanting to bring to God what we thought is special. With our graven images, we think this is special, so God, you should think it's special. I think this is sentimental to me, so God, it should be sentimental to you. God, if you say you love me. In Malachi, you know, the God asked a question. He says, Israel says, God, you don't love me. And God is like, hold up. How are you going to say I don't love you? Wasn't Esau born first? But I love Jacob and I hated Esau. According to how I set things up, the firstborn is supposed to get everything. But I bypassed Esau and chose you. But you got in your mind that we have in our mind that, God, you don't really love me because you won't give me the things that I want. God, you won't cater to my emotions. God, you won't cater to what I find sentimental. And because of that, God, that's why you don't love me. Right. Whereas, again, God chose the nation of Israel over all the other nations to learn his mind, to learn how he does things, to appreciate what God appreciates. And he said, the only thing I ask for in return, your loyalty, your obedience. That's all I ask for. You don't have to bring me your graven image. You don't have to give me what you have created. Just listen to me. Learn, adjust to see things my way, and I got you. I made everything. I am the creator, so there's really nothing else you can give but your loyalty. So with that, again, I just want to get that again. And God and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of those diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let's jump ahead now to Exodus chapter 19, and we start verse 14. What I'm gonna do is read the whole verse first, and if we go embellish, we'll come back and embellish or expound or whatever. This way we keep the flow going. All right.
Exodus chapter 19 verse 14, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes, and he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives.
Okay. So now we're in Exodus chapter 19. And like we was going over last week, the Most High is now speaking it's the third month, if you all remember. It says it's the third month to the day of when we crossed through the Red Sea. And again, if you missed that class, please go back and check it out. We went kind of in depth and what all that meant, what all was going on. That it was just 3 months. that now we're at the Mount Sinai. And now the Most High, beyond all the signs and all the things that the Lord did for us when we exited, now he's like, Moses, if the people, one, they saw what I did, but now they're going to hear my voice. But you got to get them ready, Moses. To hear my voice, get them ready. In 3 days, they're going to hear my voice and know that for whatever they didn't pick up by seeing what I did with you, now if there's any doubt, I want them, they're going to hear my voice. They're going to know it's me. So in 3 days, y'all get ready. Clean yourselves up.
The bad part of this, you know, people be saying, you know, the Lord came and spoke to me, man. You know, the Most High speaks to me. The Most High, you know, that's a lie. Because even with the Father, he's like, man, even for me to come and talk to you, even for you to hear my voice, there's stipulations. You got to be cleaned up. Don't deal with your wives. Come washed and clean up and be ready third day. Let's read on, right? And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thundering and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. It says, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled.
I kept saying last week that the camp was 17 miles away, that we sprinted. It was actually 12 miles. We're going to go through that a little bit. We're going to get into that. Then now on this third day, now we're about to hear the voice of the Most High. And in the morning, it says there was thunders and lightnings. I don't know if everybody's been in the vicinity of when a tornado starts and it shuts down. Those are the blackest clouds I've ever seen in my life. And they're not the white, puffy, pretty, gentle, just passing pleasantly in front of a rainbow, and life is kind of pleasant.
Yeah.
These clouds, they look like they've been ripped. They're black, and they look like they've literally been ripped. And you can see the lightning that's coming down. Remember, I don't know, remember, it was like 86, 85. There was an earthquake here in Albuquerque. I mean, remember, the funnel cloud touched down and it hit Windrock.
Oh, I remember that.
Time. We was at football practice. We was at football practice when that shit happened. And Coach talked about this monarch weather. It's a tornado. But you looked over the Sandias, and again, that I've never seen. Albuquerque is known for sunset and sunrise. That they're beautiful. They're world-renowned. People from all over the world come to Albuquerque to see the Painted Desert and to see the sunset. The sandias, and we know the word sandia in Spanish means watermelon, and manzano means apple. And the reason they got those names, because you go up there, you don't see no watermelons and apples in the mountains. But it's when the sun is setting and the rays of the sun are coming across the desert floor, it hits the mountains, and the up in the sky is reflected these pinks, these purples, these magentas, these watermelon colors and these apple colors that you cannot find anywhere else in the world. That's why they call it the land of enchantment, because when you see that, it's beautiful. To where a lot of us that grew up here don't even take heed to it.
Right.
But for nobody who's ever never really seen a real sunset, to really see some real beauty, the Albuquerque sunsets are some of the most beautiful sunsets in the world. To be used to that image of the pink, the purples, all the bright, the colors that get reflected off the mountains. To look over the Sandias and see straight blackness and see lightning coming down over the Sandias. And then look, now we're in Manzano, so we're in the Northeast Heights. So it's not like that is that far away. Then to look over and to see a funnel cloud start and actually touch down and touch Windrock, that's some of the most terrifying experiences of my life. For others, now it said in verse 15, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders, plural, and lightnings, plural. If you've ever been in a city when the lightning storm, or in the country, when the lightning storm is there, that's scary.
Fort Lauderdale, man. Fort Lauderdale. Hey, I had the bathroom left first, did the fairs, and first experience is Fort Lauderdale, man. Because, I mean, it comes out of nowhere. I mean, literally, one minute it could be nice, sunny, and it's like, all of a sudden, it ain't the rain that's scary. It's the lightning. Because it feel like it touched right around you. You're like, man, you try to find cover, but you see nothing but, you see the light, electricity, and all of a sudden that crack. It sounds like a damn explosion. But them experiences are terrifying if you have never experienced that, have never seen it. So for them to have to be prepared, this is something probably they have never experienced. We about to hear the voice of the Most High, but this is, you got to be prepared to hear his voice. That's what I was saying about people talking about, you know, the Lord spoke to me. No, he didn't.
Right.
No, someone spoke to you, but wasn't the Father. Because there's a way that he make an appearance, and we're reading about how he makes that appearance to us. And if the Father spoke to you, you would tremble, because even from the lightning and thundering, we were trembling.
We're gonna read a couple of commentaries from a couple of people of studied men, who this was a I don't want to say an assault, but I can't find a better word. But this was to hit every one of your senses, to be able to see, feel, hear, and taste the electricity. When the thunder clapped, when the thunder went off, you've been in a thunderstorm and lightning struck next to you, it feels like it shakes the whole house that you might be in. If you're outside and that lightning is going off, you want to run for shelter. You're looking for somewhere. Now, these thunders and these lightnings kept getting greater and greater. And we're going to read that it says that Israel, let me not spoil it, that the thunders and lightnings and the thick cloud upon the mountain. And it says, and the voice of the trumpet, I wanted to get that. And the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. How many times have you been sitting at a traffic light, and then out of nowhere the cop or the fire truck or the ambulance push their siren, they got to take off. How loud is that siren? And then you got that siren that just goes off, and then you got the flashing lights of the siren. If it's right behind you, that will scare the hell out of you. That's the man-made device. Whether it's the man-made lights or the man-made siren, that's man-made. This was now the creator, his trumpet. And this trumpet just kept getting louder and louder and louder and louder. So, again, in the Most High making his interest to make himself known, we had no doubt who this was. We had no doubt who this was. The trumpet got exceedingly loud so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. So we seen this, we felt this, we smelt this. Every sense was touched at this time. Let me move it up a little bit.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with the Most High. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. Verse 18.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with the Most High. Remember, we're talking about, as we went through some of the numbers, just in Israelites alone, we're talking close to 6 million people. From newborns all the way up through those over the age of 50. That it was about 600 million Israelites. Now, remember, we also had the strangers that were there with us. So in order to fit that many people at the base of the mountain, the camp was over 12 miles away. So Moses now, as all this is going on, now Moses then led the children of Israel through all this lightning, these clouds, as everything's getting closer and louder and blacker. Moses then led us 12 miles now to the bottom of Mount Sinai. Now remember, Mount Sinai was going off like a volcano. So imagine you trying to walk to a mountain, the volcano's going off. This was the Most High let you know, this is him. All right? This is him. So they, we know now, verse 17, we know walked to scared. Because we was already trembling in our tents. Now we're walking towards the noise, towards the power. Verse 18.
And I'm going to say this. And he stopped at the, like the word nether, like the furthest,
the
furthest.
They
said at the bottom of the mountain. So he wasn't taking them to the top of them. I'm not taking you to where I go. The only place y'all go, we're going to go to the bottom. And now y'all can hear.
Right here.
Right. It says, verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because of the Lord to sit upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly.
That's why I use the word volcano. Because that's the best, that's the only thing I can describe of trying to get some type of mental picture of what this looked, of what was going on. That for 12 miles, you got nothing but thunders, lightnings. You got this loud-ass trumpet that's getting louder and louder and louder and louder. You're feeling the lightning is going across. You can feel it. The thunders is shaking you to the bone. The sky is getting blacker and blacker and blacker and blacker. And it's almost like something you might see in the, like in the movie 2012 or what was that Tom Cruise movie?
Tom Cruise or Nicolas Cage?
Tom Cruise. Where
War of the World,
where it said that lightning, everybody used to lightning say it was coming down, but this was coming up. Lightning was coming from everywhere, and it's not just a cow. No, we're talking about Thor, Lord of Thunder, striking down Thanos.
Right, one for
the head. Right. Exactly.
Or the wind, we see the wind. Remember Richard Pryor. He was supposed to be Oz and all stuff.
Right.
To say anything, it was, oh, it was the fire, the blue, but they had all of them in there and fear. So this is giving us a little bit of an idea of environment we had to go into just to hear the voice of the Most High.
Go ahead.
19?
Verse
19. Verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and the Most High answered him by a voice.
So for all that was going on, we still ain't heard the Most High. All this was just getting prepared to hear.
I know, I'm like, this is crazy. You have to, like, all this has to go on so that it's like almost like I got to, so looking for inoculate, or I gotta get you used to what this is about to sound like, because you're talking about people fainting.
Yes.
People was passing right out, like you talking about fainted. I had to get you used to the level of the noise. He have people now that can only get offended when you raise your voice.
True.
Why are you yelling at me? Father, like, okay, let me make a loud noise, because when I open my mouth, y'all are not going to be able to handle my voice.
God.
That's how you know the way, well, the Lord, you know, the Most High speak, the Lord spoke to me. No, he didn't. Because everybody would have heard it. The whole world would have heard that voice.
Now, this is with over 6 million witnesses. The whole nation heard this.
God.
So there would be no doubt it was God. And now all this is going on, you got Moses, our leader, just standing there. Yep. Uh-huh. Y'all was doubting.
God.
So Moses ain't talking to me? So Moses ain't dealing with me? I bet.
Yeah, the Moses said, Lord.
Bet.
Yes.
And Moses spake. Shalom atah, Baraketah, Yahweh. And then the Most High answered him by a voice.
Yeah.
Verse 20.
Right. Con.
Right?
Verse 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up.
We heard the voice of the Most High. Now, again, to say Moses was a hell of a man is an understatement. You walked up through this calmly, and then the Mount Sinai looks like it's a volcano going straight off. A voice calls you up, and you walk right on up.
This was, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the movie. This wasn't the Prince of Egypt.
No, this wasn't.
I didn't think it.
Not this part.
Yeah, I didn't do this part, but they did the little burning bush, and all of a sudden,
right.
He was getting yelled at by the flames. And they didn't put this part. They didn't go show what happened after. The greatness. We didn't even get to the greatness till the wilderness. Till then, it's like, man, we really got to meet our power. Even a voice, you got to know how real he was.
If somehow you want to explain the plagues that happened in Egypt as science, okay. Science this way then.
Right, that's what I'm saying. This conversation wasn't in the movie because it would have only proved that the Most High was real. All of the things that science can try to explain, you can't explain a voice. Jeremiah at the base of the mountains, and Moses spoke, and a voice spoke back. I would have broke.
Oh, we did.
Because half of them going, I promise, half of them going did not. Oh, I got to be. I'm sorry. Because I'm thinking about myself. I'm like, bro, this is like a scary movie. Like, we watched the clip of a scary movie, and I'm like, I'm out. You're on your own with them, bro. I don't do that. But to have that voice, and that, listen, you all the climax up to the voice. You got all the smoke. You're like, well, why are we walking into the smoke? The earth is shaking. Why are we still here? The sirens is going on. But for a black man, listen, let somebody start running, everybody run.
For real?
That's what I said. Just run. I like, Stu.
We ain't going to hear nothing.
So no.
Everybody run?
We don't run. Just in case. I'm not going to let you walk me through earthquakes. It's lightning. Ground is shaking, and it's a thick smoke. I can't even see. I'm supposed to walk in this, and then you're going to speak in a voice. I can't have see anyway because it's black, because of the noise, and then there's a voice that's that clear. Out of broke. Let me read on. Go to Exodus. Come on, go ahead.
Mashah. Khan, out of one. Khan. Ba'akahan. Khan. Just imagine James Earl Jones' voice and just magnify that, I guess, 10 million times.
Come on, bro.
So that there's no mistaking whose voice it was. It wasn't...
It's nothing you can duplicate.
It, you're not even hearing your own thoughts. Let me just say, make sure that's coming across. We didn't even hear our own thoughts. This was to make sure that total attention and focus was on what was being said. We didn't see the Most High, but we damn sure heard him. So your focus, your attention, say you had this thing called ADD. That's what you didn't have at this time right here. There was no attention deficit. There was no, I got a greater mind than this, and I'm going to let things and people or whatever situations control how I think and feel. No, I'm my own person, and I got to have my own thoughts, and I got to do me. All this was done, the theatrics of all this was done to erase all of that simpleness, and I'm going to call it simpleness, out of our mind. That for those of us that were still thinking about going back to Egypt, remember, this is 3 months to the day. Let's go back to Egypt. I missed whatever food we was eating in Egypt. Man, I, on the corner of whatever. Man, if we go back there again. We out here, man, I missed the wine. Remember, in Egypt, we had wine. We had beer. And we were the working class. So now we done walked 3 months. We done gone 3 months. And now, man, shit. I could really go for a beer right about now, man. This is some bullshit. I mean, at the tavern, man, to get some if we get some of the turtle leg stew, and some beer, oh, man, that would go good right now. Man, but we out here eating this unleavened bread and going through this shit. This bullshit. This Moses, I don't know about this Moses. We already had these type of thoughts going on. Imagine seeing the Egyptians get swallowed up in the Red Sea. Now everybody going to jump to Exodus. That was Exodus chapter 19 we just read, and we went through all the rest of it. Last week we did Exodus chapter 20 verse 1 through 17, and when Moses got up to the top of the mountain. What voice did we actually hear? We actually heard the Most High give Moses the Ten Commandments. And again, that was, as we went over last week, that was the marriage proposal and the acceptance. And the Most High laying it out for us, okay, this is what y'all going to do. This is going to be the covenant. This is going to make us married. All right? So now we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20 and we'll read verse 18.
Exodus 20 and 18. And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off.
Right. And it's hard to really pick up what all this means. It's hard to really comprehend it. That's what we're going to go into it. But now I'm going to go to two commentaries. One of the commentaries is by a person named John Gill. And John Gill, the reason I do like some of the commentaries is that these men during these times, again, this is in the 1746 when this was first published, these men literally dedicated their lives. They didn't have to worry about debt and wages and gas prices or material things. They could dedicate themselves to study. And they could still eat, take care of their families, do whatever. But they dedicated their lives to studying the Bible. That's what they did, and they had access to libraries. They had access to archaeology. They had access to the records that we today don't have access to. So they had access to these things. This is why I refer to a lot of stuff that they bring out. So this is John Gill, right? This is John Gill, commentary, which was published in the year 1746. And this is his commentary on Exodus chapter 20, verse 18.
And all, this is John Gill commentary, 1746.
Right.
And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning.
So now, that's what the scripture says. Now, John Gill is going to explain, give some in-depth or give some more picture to what that meant.
That is, they heard the one and saw the other. They heard the dreadful volleys of thunder and saw the amazing flashing of lightning, which were like lamps and torches as the word used signified.
Right. So it says that is. They heard the one and saw the other. So we saw the lightnings, but heard the thunders. And they heard the dreadful volleys of thunder. You know, like volleyball, you hit it back and forth.
Yeah.
So it's like the thundering was going back and forth. It wasn't just the one thunder, boom, and that was it. This thunder was going back and forth, getting louder and louder, greater and greater, as we was getting closer to the mountain. And we saw the amazing flashes of lightning. For those of us that have been in lightning storms, you in your room, you need somebody, a parent, somebody tell you that, it's going to be a God's talk. Can I get in your bed?
Yeah.
And sometimes as a parent, you kind of want them, yeah. Y'all come on. We're going to get real close and secure because in this, we have no control. Your gun, your grenade launcher, your flamethrower, this ain't going to help you. This lightning, and you've been in lightning storms where you feel completely helpless. You feel completely abandoned. This was getting greater and greater. It was like it was getting closer and closer, if you will. And it says, and these the lightnings, which were like lamps and torches, as the word used signifies. It tells you that it was lighting so much. If you're in a dark room or in the dark and somebody lights a torch, that gives light. So imagine being in a dark room and it's a continual lightnings going off to keep the room lit. That's what this was. This was lighting the way. You know, like in a Hollywood opening, don't they have the spotlights? What's the purpose of that? A club opening? It's the show. It's happening over here. Well, where'd we get that from? The Most I was using all this lighting, all this thundering, I'm here. This was the, you cannot make a greater entrance than this. And it says,
by a communication of senses. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
By a communication of senses, one sense is put before another. And the sense of sight being the principal. It says, as Ben Mulek observed, it is put for the rest. And so in the following, it is an observation of Augustine, of Austin, that to see is used for all of the five senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and feeling.
God made sure that not only did we just see this, but they really couldn't translate the Hebrew word, they couldn't translate it to cover everything. But what was meant is that this attacked, or every sense that a person has was being touched when this was going on.
Wow, so it's like saying, when it goes to talk about them seeing or hearing the word, that they did, it was all of it. They smelt it, they tasted it, they felt.
Yes.
It was real. I got you. I like it. It was real.
This is how real this was. So it wasn't just my imagination.
It
wasn't no echo. No.
The thunder from the thunder, it may have sounded like, you know, some scientists be trying to do, well, because of the thundering, scientifically in this area, when it thunders, it sounds like a voice.
No.
More like, okay, well, if you thought it sounded like a voice,
what about
tasting? Yeah, you also felt this voice.
You smelled something,
and you tasted this voice. That's how real this action was. Nice.
So that there's no mistaking. There is no, man, I want, you know what? That just made my mind fancy for me. You know, maybe that's just me, you know, whatever. It can be explained away. When this is hitting all five senses, you can't explain this away.
Okay. What did we taste? How do you taste the voice?
And that's what cynics want to do.
God, how do you smell a voice?
Yeah, that's what cynics want to do. But on this day, this is what Israel experienced.
God.
And guess what we're about to experience again? Because it tells you that when that day the Lord comes, it says that the trumpet's going to sound.
God.
And we all going to know.
Oh, yeah.
The lightnings, it says the day of the Lord should be a day of trouble and of darkness. And it's not going to be a good day.
God.
That every knee is going to bow. Stand up with your cynical ass. Tell me that you're going to somehow explain. This is not going to be able to be explained. This is going to be experienced. But this is what the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, this is what we experienced. All right, read the next bold part. The bold part now, this is the description.
Right. And the noise, as in the Bible, and the noise, the trumpet, and the mountains smoking.
Okay, now you don't explain this. Go ahead.
They, the sound of the trumpet, which made them tremble, and saw the mountain all in the smoke, which made it look very terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, through the word, although the word may be rendered, it says, as they are by some, they perceived the thunders. Is that except P
and
had a was that sensible
mm-hmm.
Perception of the yeah come on
I'm pull up I can see it
concerns. had a sensible perception of them with their eyes, ear, with their eyes, ears.
With their what?
Their eyes, ears.
With eyes and ears, but yeah.
Yeah. Which greatly affected them and made strong impressions upon their minds,
mm-hmm.
and filled them with fear and dread.
You think? This was to make sure your mind, that there was no distractions. That's the most sign.
Cool, but you know what? I wonder what I'm going to have for lunch tomorrow. Because you know what? I just got to talk with that.
You know, that's the most sign. Oh, okay. Yeah, but we still ain't going to eat.
Yeah, it's almost like it's downplayed. From every movie, every cartoon, from just religion. His voice was always downplayed like it was, like in the movie, Moses.
Right. It's Morgan Freeman.
Right. The Bruce Almighty. Or one of them, man.
Shit, yeah.
It's always downplayed like it. His talking to the Father is something that we could deal with. Like we can have that conversation with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the time you don't want it. We don't want to get to the point where now, when the Father said, he said he's going to take us to the wilderness, and there he's going to plead with us face to face. There, you're going to hear my voice just like we see it now. This better new thing was to happen has already happened. But we're reading about that conversation. Now we got to now endure that conversation where you're going to be paying attention. Ain't no lying thoughts going through your mind. You ain't trying to. I'm trying to think up a lie to justify what I was doing. That ain't finna happen. The Most High finna have our full attention when He speaks. You ain't have other things in your mind of what you planning and man, when I get to the kingdom, I'm gonna be doing this. You got to get there. These are things that we are going to have to now go back and endure. And how much more to go into this knowing that you weren't keeping the commandments of the Father. Now he got to speak to me. And listen, I love it because if the Most High spoke to Moses, and Moses asked the question, he answered. Like, I knew exactly who I was talking to. So you looking at when you was trying to hide and creep and sneak, the Most High like, I dealt with y'all as a nation, but I know what you were doing. I know what you were doing. And now you got to hear that from my voice.
That's tight,
we all know what it's like when a parent's gonna use that parent voice to get a child's attention. Hey!
Yeah, man.
Don't let a parent call you by your full name. When the parent calls you by your full name, you know it's about to. There's a fear and a dread that overtakes all of us. Like,
hell yeah, man.
I'm about to catch wreck.
I watched Ollie at the house. I was like, Quaddy was, she was throwing all the toys out. Just making a mess, man. Because I raised her voice, man. All I just come in here. All you hear is the cry, man. Like, okay, whatever. I know I messed up. Tone, I'm not finna make it.
Right.
I don't know what you finna do to me, but this just got real, real fast. Because we've been thinking this has been a joke for the longest time. We got this soft impression of who the Father is. Like, he's soft-spoken, and he's Bruce Almighty, and he's from all the cartoons and the movies, man. We got a soft impression of who the Father is.
Kyle, I'm a sarcastic man by nature. This year will kill all sarcasm. This is to let it be known, he ain't playing. That when he says this, I ain't gonna be like coming back like I got a joke, I'm gonna joke it off, or I'm gonna come back and be like, this whole production was to let every single Israelite know I'm not playing. This is my voice. You heard the way I called Moses. I'm gonna say ass because just to kind of help lend to the environment. Moses, get up here. It wasn't Moses. If you ain't doing nothing, if you can find the time to go ahead and You know, I don't want to interrupt your plans because, you know, you got your goals and what you're doing. Could you maybe please come up? I'll wait. No. This wasn't a suggestion. He wasn't speaking apologetically. This was when every one of your senses is getting hit. Next part.
The part of the scripture when it says, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off.
Their minds were not only terrified and distressed, and their bodies shook with fear, but they could not stand their ground, but were obligated or obliged to retreat. Who but just before were curious to draw near and gaze and see what they could, to prevent which bonds were set. But now these were needless.
The boundaries that, because most I kept telling Moses, make sure they don't come up here. We didn't read it. We didn't read this part. But if you go back and read the whole everything in continuity, continually, that the most I kept making Moses for that 3 days, build up boundaries and fortifications. Do not let not one Israelite think he gonna run his ass up in here and take a look at me. That he gonna just run up here like, well, I want to see the most I for myself. That you know what? I'm tired of you telling me what to do. I got to see this for myself. So we had these boundaries built. And Moses kept going back up and down the mountain. And when the elders went to Egypt, our elders from one west went to Egypt and went up to Mount Sinai, they said, if you ever want to punish somebody, tell them to walk up Mount Sinai. You literally had to start the journey to go up Mount Sinai. They had to start like at 3 or 4 in the morning. In the morning, a.m. So that like by 12, 1, 2 o'clock, you might be able to make it to the summit, to the top of Mount Sinai. Crazy steep and high. You weren't just going to just, like, coincidentally walk to the top of this mountain. Yeah. And when Moses kept going up and down there continually, please. So here is, again, being described that the boundaries that Moses had set up, it wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary. Oh, nobody was trying to go up there.
Obligated to retreat.
We were obliged to retreat.
I have no problem. He's like, right. It's like saying, those boundaries, I have no problem doing that.
No,
I am not going up there.
What it's going to describe is we were already running. We were already top speed retreating. That's why it wasn't necessary to build these boundaries. Because we were, keep reading.
But now these were needless. When they saw and heard were sufficient to keep them at a distance, nay, oblige them to quit their places.
Quit where they were at. Leave their place. Quit, man.
They were at the lower part of the mount before, and now they removed a good way from it, even to their camp and to their tents in it.
We ran back home.
God.
See Deuteronomy 5:30.
Let me get that. I'll get that.
That's just for the visual.
Well,
it's perfect. Yeah, it goes right with it.
And it's gonna let us know that when you read Deuteronomy 5:30, you can read it. You can read it real quick.
Deuteronomy chapter 5:30. It says, go say to them, get you into your tents again.
Again. Like when y'all ran into your tents before,
yeah.
Run back to your tents again.
Come
on. So, Shaw, who's got it? Yeah, read on now.
The Targum of Jonathan says, they removed 12 miles and so Jerichi. Who observes that this was according to the length of their camp.
Yeah.
12 miles.
Yeah, they ran all the way back home.
Sprinted 12 miles back home to try and hide.
Well, it's also interesting that God's camp, all the people saying, was 12 miles.
That in order to fit everybody at the base of Mount Sinai,
right.
You had to have that 12-mile distance.
Right.
in order for everybody to fit.
So the camp was 12 miles away.
Yeah, the camp was 12 miles away. And we had no problem sprinting 12 miles. I couldn't sprint from here to the mailbox.
That's crazy.
We were so shook. We sprinted 12 miles.
Ran home, man. That's right. We ran back in that tent, like.
Run back home to your mammy. Matter of fact, hold up. We were like this. I'm glad I told us what I put this in here.
And you know what, nigga? You act like a little bitch right now. You act real paranoid and shit.
Yes.
You act the real paranoid.
The whole camp. How did Kevin Hart say? I left my baby. If you can't keep up, I'm so terrified, I can't even think about you. Trying to get away from the voice of the Most High. That's one commentary. The other commentary I want to go into is Kiel and Dieske commentary, and this was from 1891. Now, these were some German scholars, and these guys, you go read their list of accolades, doctors of divinity, doctors of Hebrew. This cat's for the Dieske. The New Testament in Hebrew, he translated. If you go and get a New Testament in Hebrew, not the Aramaic that the brothers put out from the house of David, but the Hebrew Bible that's written, the New Testament, this dude translated the whole thing by himself. He was German. So he took the Hebrew, and then translated that into German, and from there it went into English. That's how studied this man was, okay? And Kiel, this guy, again, their whole lives. This wasn't a side hustle. The scriptures and the studying wasn't something they did on the side at their leisure. This was their whole lives. Okay? So we're going to pick up on their commentary. That's from 1891. You got a star?
This is from Exodus 20:18. That mm-hmm. was the commentary.
Don't worry about that part.
Yeah, no, the commentary.
Yeah.
Their terrible phenomena amid which the Lord displayed his majesty made the intended impression upon the people who were stationed by the mountain below, so that they desired that God would not speak to them anymore.
They wanted to stop talking.
The Most High made this impression in their minds, so there wouldn't be no doubt. So we didn't read it, but we begged Moses, don't you ever let the Most High speak to us no more.
God.
We will, whatever you say, we good. Do not let, if this is what it's going to take, never mind.
They got to know it, guys. It says, entreated Moses through their elders to act as mediators.
Right. The common people were so scared. They made their elders go talk to Moses. Moses talked to the Most High.
God.
It wasn't nobody bold enough like, nah, I want the Most High to speak to me.
No.
If it's the Most High, let him talk to me. I don't need nobody speaking for me. You don't get it.
That's how you know the Lord ain't spoke to them. They know you couldn't handle it. We couldn't handle it as a nation. He said we had to ask Moses we wasn't going to talk to Moses. These are our elders. You talk to Moses, and then you act as our mediator between them.
You know what? We're going to establish chain of command.
We're going to put barriers.
Hell yeah, man.
The Most High and us.
But the elected officials, we elected an official to go talk to Moses, and then let Moses talk to the Father.
And then the Father talks back to you, Moses.
Hey, but you know what's crazy? Now you understand we kept talking about those leaders, people that were appointed. People that are appointed, you're appointed. You're going to lead us. But you're only appointed to be the spokesperson now that's going to directly speak to Moses. Whatever Moses said, then you was going to bring that back to us. Not everybody out doing the hell they wanted to do. I'm sorry, go ahead. Where we at?
Sorry, read.
Moses threw their.
You guys speak up because we also go on the phone like this because the recording or the show is you're not gonna be heard.
Okay.
So you gotta speak up something.
Moses threw. Ooh. Okay. Never mind. I just thought the thing was. Moses threw their elders to act as mediators between them, promising at the same time that they would hear him.
And the scripture we can go through that we went through already. Go ahead.
Perceiving.
So the words that were being used in the Hebrew, it came to the Hebrew word which means perceiving. Right? Sure. Picking up on this, go ahead.
To see being frequently used for to see being frequently used for perceiving as being the principal sense by which most of the impressions of the outer world are received.
And it stands also, because the first sense a person relies on is seeing.
Yeah.
And but we understand from some other commentators that this was an attack on all the senses. They're just using the word seeing because that's the first one. Like most Israelites, most people say, I'll believe when I see it. But this here was an attack on every sense. Reading on.
Fire torches are the vivid flashes of lightning. Do I read the quote?
Yeah.
They trembled and stood afar off, not daring to come nearer to the mountain or to ascend it. And they said, the heads of the tribes and the elders.
See for reference. And we just read that already. I'm moving up.
There you go. There's just a lot of them, so I'm trying to like see what I'm supposed to.
Right.
Where the words of the people are more fully given, lest we die, see for reference Deuteronomy, though they had discovered that the Most High speaks with man, yet man lives, they felt so much that they were flesh, powerless, frail, alienated by sin from the Holy God, that they were afraid lest they should be consumed by this great fire if they listened any longer to the voice of the Most High.
We said we were going to be consumed by fire from just the voice of the Most High. So, again, there was no mistaking. There was no second guessing. There was no room to insert your thought, insert your what have you.
Yeah,
it was none of that.
Yeah, when that goes, it wasn't.
It wasn't going to be explained away.
Yeah, like Mockingbird, you tweeting it.
Right, right.
Coming back.
God, no, it was none of that. Let me do this right here, real quick. All right, so that was just some of the commentary that I want to get into. That I'm really trying to help paint this picture for us to really get this, for us to really, again, I'm at a loss of words, to try and get a real visual of what was taking place, of what happened. Because when you just read it through, you're not going in depth. People don't do that. People don't go in depth to really, really get a sense of what was taking place. The mind doesn't want to go there. So going back to Exodus chapter 20 now and picking up at verse 19.
Exodus chapter 20 and verse 19. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not the Most High speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for the Most High is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where the Most High was.
Right. So what was the purpose of all this? What was the purpose of all this? Again, from verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for the Most High has come to prove you, to test you, to show you, and that his fear, maybe before your faces, that before you resort to your senses, before you resort to what you feel is right, what you think is right, what you came up with, what feels good to you, whatever, let his fear go before you. And fear meaning, yeah, if you mess up, this is what you got to face. If you make the wrong decisions, this is who you got to go deal with. That his fear might be in front of your face, is that you're not being led. If it's in front of your face, you ain't looking at, well, this is what makes me feel good. This is what I'm looking at. This is what I feel. This is what I think. This is what I'm putting together in my mind. No. This whole thing was done so that his fear could be before our faces. Somebody can get a Bible if you got a Bible. We can get Psalm chapter 111 and verse 10. Psalm chapter 111 and verse 10. The book of Psalms, chapter 111 and verse 10.
Psalms, chapter 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Most High is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments.
Right.
His praise endureth forever.
So, again, that his fear might be before our faces, because that is the beginning of wisdom. When we have that fear of the Most High, of Yahweh Bashem Yahweh Shai, and now when I make my decisions, he's in front of my face first. I think about him first before I make any decision. That's what real wisdom is. When we're dealing with the Most, when the Israelites are dealing with the Most High, that before I make a choice, before I make a decision, I've got his fear in my face, not my feelings, not what I came up with, not what I'm thinking about, but that I have his fear in front of my face, what he's thinking in front of my face, so that I don't sin. So that I'm not, because I'm following my feelings, I'm following whatever sense is being tickled, I'm going with that, and I'm not paying attention to the fear of God, the fear of the Most High. And that's how many of us have been living our lives. I make all my choices based on my feelings. The Most High wanted Israel to be set apart, wanted to be holy. The world has already been doing that. The world's already been doing, living by that same code, by what they feel, by what they see, whether it's from scientific code to mysticism to witchcraft to whatever drug you take and you're hallucinating. That's already being done. You know what's not being done? Who's making their choices based on the fear of the Most High? Who's making their choices in life? According to God's judgments. That example in the earth isn't here. Every example in the earth of follow your senses, follow your feelings, follow your own thoughts, that's it throughout the whole entire planet earth. But the one thing that's not in the earth, who's going to make their choice and decisions based on the fear of God? That example isn't in the earth, and that's what the Most High made the Israelites for. This was the covenant, the contract that that God established with the Israelites when he married us. Y'all going to be the example on the earth for the rest of the world of how now don't follow your feelings and your senses. Don't follow that false wisdom. Follow this right here. Let your choices be based on your fear of me. Give me Isaiah 33:6 if y'all don't mind. And again, this is part 9 of the Set Apart series of what did the Most High set Israel to be apart? Why were we set apart? What does it mean to be holy? H-O-L-Y. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. It means to be sanctified. It means that, no, we as Israelites, we're not going to do things the way the world does things. We're not going to make our decisions, our choices, based on what the world, how they base their choices, and what the world calls wisdom. Our wisdom comes from, we have the fear of the Most High in our faces first. Like when he spoke to us here at the Mount Sinai. Who's going to read? I need you to come closer and kind of loud, please. Go on, sir.
Isaiah chapter 36 and verse 9.
33 verse 6.
33 verse 6. All right.
Going now to Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6 one more time. That, again, just off of, fear not, for God is coming to prove you that his fear may be before your eyes. Now read this again. Read this.
Isaiah 33 and verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure.
So when we, again, talk about wisdom and knowledge, so that you might be stable. That wisdom and knowledge that you might be stable is that we have the fear of God as our treasure. Just like what the Most High did with our foreparents when we came out of Egypt, and 3 months to the day, we came to Mount Sinai. And that, then the Most High went through this process here, that we heard his voice and all the thunderings and lightnings that attacked every one of our senses, sight, hearing, taste, feel. What am I missing?
Smell.
That every one of our senses was attacked so that we wouldn't follow nothing else, but that his fear might be before us. So that if I'm making a decision, I'm basing it off my fear of God, not the senses, not my feeling. Remember, a couple set of our classes ago, we went over the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, that the wisdom of the world is devilish. The wisdom of the world is based on how you feel, because that's what how the devil operates. We're going to get back to that. We're going to definitely get back to that. But now we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1 and 2. And now this was in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, we got where God first established his covenant with the Israelites. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 29 that we're going to, this is where Moses is going to remind us. This is 40 years later now. This is 40 years later. And now Moses, we're about to go into the promised land. The 40 years has now expired where, believe it or not, even after walking out of Egypt, seeing all the plagues and all the miracles that were done in Egypt, walking through the Red Sea, in Exodus chapter 15, the bitter water being turned sweet, going through this year where we just sprinted 12 miles from the bottom, the base, as it's nether, meaning the bottom of the base of the mountain, we sprinted 12 miles back to our tents. Going through all that, and we heard the voice of the Most High, and then we all said, look, Moses, we had our elders go tell Moses, you speak to us, go let the Most High do it no more. We still have rebels. We still have people that would rather follow their own mind, their own thoughts, their own feelings, their own whatever, even after witnessing all this. So now we had to wait. We had to wander through the wilderness for 40 years because we kept wanting to count on our senses and not on the fear of God, not on the fear of the Most High. The Most High just destroyed the greatest army at that time. They had the greatest technology, the greatest army in the world at that time. He just destroyed them in the Red Sea. And now we're about to go take the land of Canaan, and we don't let our doubtful elders run their mouth and go by their mind. Now we can't do it. It's not going to be because being practical, it can't be done. They're bigger than us. They're more than us. Man, we look like grasshoppers to them compared to how they're giants. We can't do it. And the adults listen to that. And then the excuse that we used was, well, if we do this, our kids are going to die. And the Most says, oh, that's what y'all thinking? Y'all ain't going to, for everything I've done for y'all, y'all thinking y'all ain't going to make it? And you're making these excuses? And excuses, your kids ain't going to make it? I bet. You worry about your kids. Then y'all ain't going to make it. I'm going to wait till y'all drop dead, and then I'll go ahead and just take your children in. So cool. You kept saying it's a waste of time. The certain Most High is a waste of time because why would a person think serving God is a waste of time? Because God's not fulfilling your sense. in a sense of time, whatever goal you have set up in your head, you got that in your mind. So now doing the Most High's way is a waste of time. This thing the Most High get going on, it's taking too long. I can't get the sense of satisfaction that I want right now. And so then, cool. Then y'all waste your time for 40 years. Cool. Everything I did for y'all, even if it didn't go by what y'all said, now it's back to you going by your mind? You going back to what you feel? You going back to what you think is wisdom? Then y'all wait these 40 years then. Let me show you what it means to waste time. That to serve me is a waste of time. Y'all give y'all word you're going to serve me. Now it comes out of serving me, and now it's a waste of time because you can't get to your goals and what you put in your head? Not a problem. Got you. I'm not going to just kill y'all right away because then your kids are going to argue about here defenseless, according to what y'all say. Cool. I'm with y'all to get old and drop dead. Then I'm gonna walk y'all into the promised land. So this is Moses speaking to us right before this event is about to happen. It's right at the end of the 40 years. Deuteronomy is like the 39th year and 11th, 12th month is when the book of Deuteronomy is taking place. I mean, it's right at the end of the 40 years. So these are the words of Moses to us. Who's reading?
I got it. Deuteronomy chapter 29.
I'll move it up.
Gotcha.
All right.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1 through 2. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel and the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Verse 2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land.
Cool. He's just reminding us. Don't forget, y'all remember what the Most High did. Now, a lot of y'all were babies. A lot of y'all were babies when you came out of Egypt. Y'all didn't know. But up until 19, when it was decreed that from 20 and up, y'all ain't going to make it, some of y'all were old enough to actually remember what it was like in Egypt. The mountain smoking, going through the Red Sea. Y'all can remember that. Y'all was barely 19. Y'all remember that. Now you're at the age of, if it's 19 plus 40, that's what? Now you're 59 years old. Now y'all are about to walk into the promised land. But y'all remember what y'all did. Okay, I'm moving up again.
Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 9.
So y'all go back and can read from Deuteronomy chapter 20. We're into verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 1 and 2. Y'all can go back and read the rest. But now we're going to jump down to verse 9.
Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do.
I had to read that. This is the Most High speaking to whom? The entire nation. Not individuals, like, again, what we keep being taught here in America with capitalism, that you can be all you can be. You can do it for you. And that's what the wisdom of the world teaches. You do for you. Again, capitalism. The rich get rich and the poor get poor. That's capitalism. That's the epitome. Go watch The Devil's Advocate again for those that haven't seen it. It's the epitome of you doing for you and yours what the Most High was doing for the whole nation. He was now blessing the whole nation, not just individuals. And that's all this world pushes. That's not the wisdom of God. Why should I do like the Republicans? Why should I do for others when my parents worked hard and pulled themselves by the bootstraps? Why should my taxes go to go help somebody else? Hold up, motherfucker. When you became a congressman, a senator, a governor, a mayor, weren't you sworn in on the Bible? Doesn't God say to love your neighbors, you love yourself? You swore on the Bible that that's what you was going to be about, but now it's about what you can get out of it for yourself. You put all your money in God We Trust. Then what God are you talking about? That now it's just about you coming up? You're not serving the God of Israel? Reading on now.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 13 to 28.
Right. The reason I had to highlight is so I knew that from the last class. This is where I left off at.
I got you. Okay.
Go ahead.
That he may establish thee today for a people unto himself.
Keep this covenant. That the Most High might establish you today for a people unto himself. God, by us keeping God's judgments, judging things the way God would judge it, that is what makes us special. That is what makes us special and makes us right. That we judge things and do things the way the Most High does things, not based on how the world determines whatever. But now this is God saying to the nation of Israel, do it this way. And that he may be a God unto, that he may, and that he may be unto thee a God. Go ahead.
And that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. 14. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. 15. But with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day.
On that very day, those of us listening to this broadcast right now, physically, we were not there that very day. That does not negate the fact that this is what, as an Israelite, this is what our duty is. And by us not keeping our part as a nation, our part of the contract, this is why we, are, as a nation, are still going through what we're going through. Go ahead.
16. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. 17. And ye have seen their abomination and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. 18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations.
You see, what he's sitting right here in verse 17, and you have seen their abominations. You've seen their lifestyles that God finds sickening, how they do. God says, you've seen all that. And God says it's an abomination. For as much as the question that we get, that gets used again today, what's wrong with that? I don't see what's wrong with this. Matter of fact, I kind of like it. So I don't see what the big deal is. The big deal is, what was the covenant that we made with the Most High? That we were going to judge things in the same manner that he judges things. It wasn't about our feelings. It was about, we had made the agreement, we were going to judge things the way the Most High judges things. We were going to look at it through his eyes, not through our emotions first, and then kind of bring the Most High in and say, well, yeah, okay, but I still don't see nothing wrong with it. Pork is the other white meat. And, you know, the way they did swine back then, they actually did eat trash and garbage. But the way they raised on the pork farms, the swine farms they do today, they're eating hay, pellets. They don't even eat trash now.
Oh, yeah. The pigs from back then are not as pig as they are today.
Yeah, so... I really don't see the problem with this. Plus, you know, they've genetically modified the pig for us today, mm-hmm, to where it's cleaner. Matter of fact, it's more clean than chicken.
It might not be chicken.
I had an argument about that, about what if the pigs these days be eating anything. And that's why this is, well, not besides them not be, besides it being in the Bible that they're an unclean animal, that also solidifies why they're unclean, because they eat dead near anything. But I had an argument about, well, what if you farm raised and feed them properly. And it's like, it still don't make sense. You're still going to feed the pig anything. It's just, it's just a healthier version of anything, but it's still unclean. And it was, oh, well, if it's clean, it's just eating it, eating healthy, and then you can feed every animal healthy. And then I was like, no, you don't. It's, that doesn't make sense.
No, it's like you're trying to complicate.
Yeah.
People try to complicate what is wrong with the father. Because it used to be, at this time, you look at it simply, it was abomination. It was wrong. When you heard that voice, when you saw the crackling of that lightning, when you saw that smoke, you understood then that they don't justify it. Wrong is wrong. And what we've come to, because there's no fire, because there's no voice, because there's no consequences, we look at the day of the Lord. We almost going to live our life to the day of the Lord. And you look at the Moses said, that time for the world is going to be cruel. There ain't going to be no justifying why is it now okay to do it. Like that, but that was back then, but we live in a different time. Well, the voice is the same. The fire is the same. The punishment is the same because the Father said, I am the Lord. He said, I change not. So the same things I required from the beginning are the same exact things that I require now.
So he said, you've seen it there, abomination. That's how the nations live. I use pork just as I use it as a quick example. The whole American lifestyle of how this nation lives, how this nation judges and does things, God cannot stand. But we're still trying to bring how the American lifestyle to God. And in our minds, it's the same thing. I don't see what's wrong with it. By using how the America does things, look what they was able to get. So why can't I get this? So what's wrong with me wanting this the thing that they say, right? So what's wrong with me wanting a nice house? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with it. But didn't God give the nation of Israel mansions? You talk about a nice house, God started trying to give you a mansion. You talk about you just want to go to work. Shit. The employment God gave you was you had to manage servants, not be a servant. By doing it his way. But we looked at God's way as though God's way is an abomination. Like, if you think God's way is wicked and off, and you have seen, going back to verse 17, and you have seen their abominations. And we're going to be getting into this. I'm going to get in depth with their abominations. It says, and their idols. What's an idol? They're like, you have American idols today. It's something that people have made a treasure. Not what God's made a treasure. It's what people have made valuable. Not what God has made valuable. It says, and you've seen their idols. All the hard work they put in to get what they have made. Not what God has made. Their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. What they was willing to do to get silver and gold. What they was willing to do to fulfill what they created. He said, you've seen that. Verse 18, lest there should be among you a man, a woman, a family, or even a tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations. Don't serve those things. Don't break your back to serve those things that God calls an abomination. I've set you apart. The nation of Israel, we're not supposed to do it the way they do it. It's not wisdom. God gave us our wisdom. Let my fear go before you first, before you make any decision, any choice. And then, is it going to benefit the nation, or is it just going to benefit you? if it's going to benefit you, that's why the other nations, and we're going to get into it, they can go and sacrifice their kids in a fire. And I'm using that as the worst possible detail that I can imagine, that a person would kill their own children just for their own promotion, that they would destroy their own seed. I mean literally destroy, literally drink their blood, literally put them in them ovens and cook them for their own self-promotion. And unfortunately in America, how many couples will opt for the abortion so they can keep living their lives? Because the child is going to get in the way of their goals. They have a sex without protection. She gets pregnant. The dude's like, well, I really don't love you that like that. I really don't love this child like that. I'll go half on an abortion because I got things I'm trying to get done. Living the American lifestyle. As long as I can still reach my goal. And if I'm still reaching my goal, the cute word we use in America is I'm ambitious. To be ambitious in America, I mean, if it means I got, yeah, I'm out here having sex, doing this, making babies, but if I kill them, what does it matter? The end justifies the means. So what if they got destroyed? So look, this is a doggy dog world. Look, you either a wolf or a sheep. So look, I gotta do me. Do you, boo boo?
I told her to have the baby. I said she have it. She on her own. You gotta take care of that.
YOLO.
I gave you the plan B. I gave you the money for the abortion.
I gotta live my best life.
Nah, man.
I gotta do for me. If I'm selling, okay, we used to say back when I was coming up, the drug was crack, but now it's fentanyl. Oh, all right, cool. If I'm selling fentanyl to my uncle, to my nephews, somebody's gonna sell it, so why not me? They don't get it from anywhere. I got bills to pay. I got things I got to take care of. So if it's destroying the community or destroying people within my own family, hey, I got to make sure me and mine eat. That's the American way. But that's the same shit God says is an abomination that he can't stand. And he was trying to prevent these type of thoughts from getting to a man, a woman, a family, or a tribe. It says, of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood. Gall and wormwood represent bitterness. Gall is like acid reflux, that bitterness that we have, the acid reflux. And wormwood is just something that's just bitter. That now in our hearts, I just got bitterness at doing things the Most High's way because I can't get mine. And I didn't put it in this class. But we can go back and read about the story of Achan, who went and hid some of the Canaanite treasures in his tent. And from that, wound up getting 38 other families, all Israel affected, but 30 other men killed because of this man's greediness, that he's got to look out for him. It was 38. Verse 19.
Deuteronomy 29, verse 19. And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst.
No, I got a comment. If you got something too also. It says, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that, yeah, this is a curse. So I can't live my life. I can't do things my own way. I'm grown. I'm this. I'm a man. I'm not gonna be, you know, the saying of the world is, you're gonna let a book control you.
That's what happened to you, not me.
Are you so small minded that you're gonna let that book control you? Aren't you a man? Don't you have your own thoughts? You're gonna submit to your husband because a book tells you to?
Well, what about him submitting to you?
Well, it's good for the goose. It's good for the gander. That's an old saying. That you can live your best life. You can do you. Don't let this control you. You can have peace. So it says that all this was being written and happening. It says, let it come to pass that when he hears the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace. Somebody give me Amos real quick. We're going to pass this. Amos chapter 9 and verse 8. Amos chapter 9 and verse 8.
Amos chapter 9 and verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom.
The sinful what?
Kingdom.
The sinful kingdom. Who's allowing people to live the way they want to live, do what the hell they want to do, and saying, God, we trust?
This kingdom.
And saying, hey, you need to use real wisdom.
This kingdom.
Stop being so small-minded. You need to go ahead and, like, expose yourself, like, to philosophies and different cultures and be more open-minded. Don't be so closed-minded, so narrow-minded and racist. You have to open up and experience people. Look, if you get in a car accident and you lose a lot of blood and they got to give you a blood transfusion, what color is that blood?
Red.
And you know what? That's all that matters.
Yes.
So even if it's pork blood, because it's red, it's still red blood, right?
We all bleed the same, right?
You know it's the only race that matters? The human race. Well, usually there's a picture of a rainbow, some clouds, or a hummingbird humming next to a flower, withdrawing the honey, the nectar from the fucking flower. He says, and it came to pass. Oh, I'm sorry. You're in Amos chapter 9, verse what?
Verse 8. Okay, so I'm starting to talk. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth.
He's going to destroy the sinful kingdom from off the face of the earth. Verse 10.
All the sinners of my people.
And all the sinners of God's people, the Israelites. Read.
Shall die.
In this kingdom. Since you love this kingdom, you're going to perish with this kingdom. You want to live by this way of living? You're fighting already being an American citizen? Then you're going to go get the consequence of what's coming to American citizens. It's really against you to be opposed to be an Israelite? Well, since God's coming to save the Israelites, and you don't want a part of that? Understand what you say you don't want a part of then. I don't want the Lord's salvation. I want everything America has to give. I'm going to live my best life. God damn it, God heard you. Verse 10.
Which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us.
I've got my security. I've got this set up. I got that set up. I've got CDs. I got bonds. I got some guns. I got a fallout shelter. I got a bug out shelter. I've been doomsday prepping for 50 years. I'm set. I'm straight. The evil ain't going to take me. Hear the words of this curse? That he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. I'm already thirsty for righteousness. I already don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And now I'm going to add drunkenness to that?
No control.
I'm going to just be influenced by everything now except the scriptures. Every idea that somebody comes up with, I'm going to be chasing it. Because that's going to give me security. Yes, something you're going to add?
Real quick, I'm just going to read this real quick. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse verse 9. Just real quick. I'm going to read it real fast. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. The day of the Lord cometh. Cruel both with, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So you keep pointing out, like the scripture is pointing out, if the Most High is coming after sin, this wicked kingdom that we're in, as long as I'm here trying to fit in, the Most High is like, okay, well, I'm just going to destroy you right along with it. But it don't, even the prophets kept prophesying. It's going to happen, though. He said, you're going to hear the Most High's voice. He said, you're going to melt. Verse 6, it says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt.
Whatever it is you got in your mind, remember Smeagol and Lord of the Rings? You try to hold on to what you call precious.
Yeah, all the way to that fire, you see his face in space change. He was smiling. That's it, I got God. I was going to hit that fire. But he was smiling.
Oh, fire. But he hit the fire, but his eyes stayed on his what? His precious.
That ring.
That graven image, what he made important. Verse 20. I'm sorry, going back to Deuteronomy 29 and verse 20.
Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 20. The Lord will not spare him.
The Lord will not what?
Spare him.
The Lord ain't going to spare him. There's a scripture in Isaiah 52. It says, we're going to be redeemed without money. So are we still trying to live the American lifestyle dream? It's a tool. But when your whole life is about credit, was it Experian? What are the three credit agencies?
TransUnion, Equifax.
Whatever the three names are.
TransUnion, I don't know. That's all I got.
Do you think God's going to check with them?
You ain't got it.
For you to get salvation?
Israel.
I need your credit report. One of ours right now at 5:30.
So live. So right.
Mashaba,
three summons.
You know, making it to the kingdom. You need a 7:30 or higher.
Yeah, Christ will be very furious at you because of your credit score.
No. Now when he came out, I already said, so your treasure's in heaven. What's your credit in heaven?
Right.
Are you putting as much work and much worry with your credit in heaven as you are here in this sinful kingdom that's being destroyed? Oh, but you're going to be covered, right, on this day of the Lord, because you're not using the Federal Reserve notes. You're using Bitcoin. You're smarter than the average bear, huh? You're using cryptocurrency, huh? You're smarter than everybody else. You got a plan that's what's really going to save you. Hey, you and yours, you got the Tesla car. But what is Tesla stock going to do when the fire from the Lord comes down? The Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. Will you read? Did you read all that yet?
20?
Yeah, verse 20.
I didn't get all the way through.
Well, go ahead. From the top.
I'm starting from the top. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 20. The Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man.
We went over jealousy last week. Go back and relook at the word jealousy from the Webster's 1828. It really ain't what you think it is. To be jealous is not what you think it is. To be jealous, the first thing it said was to be suspicious. God is suspicious that you're serving something else and not him. You're being influenced by something else and not him. Jealousy. He's not playing. Keep reading.
No, I'm saying when you do it. Okay. And his jealousy shall not smoke up against that man. But not smoke up, shall smoke up against that man.
Don't get this twisted.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall not blot out his name.
The Lord shall
blot out his name from under heaven. Verse 21.
There's three heavens. The paradise on earth, the heaven on earth, guess what you just wrote yourself about of? You just made sure you wrote yourself up out of that. Because you was about the here and now. Too much Luther. That's one of his songs, right? Here and now. Too much Luther. You think about the here and now, you just blotted your own name out of the paradise that the Most High is bringing. The heaven that he's bringing. So you can have yours right here. It's my money. I want it now. Following the way that the world does it. We're going to finish this chapter.
And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. Verse 22. So let the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plague of that land and the sicknesses, was the Lord had laid upon it?
You saw you read just a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor barren, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and
Zeboim,
which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. 24. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger?
Why is this people going through this like this? Not just individual. Why is this nation? Because the other nations obviously ain't going through this. The other nations are that we're looking at, if it's like the niggas from Al Dubai, what's the rich?
Dubai.
Yeah, they're looking like, why y'all living in the ghettos? Go over to Korea, and you see that in Black Panther went to Korea. You see the technology that the Korea had, how they was living, or Fast and the Furious? The nation's looking this way like, what the hell, why are y'all in the ghetto? Why is the majority of y'all going there? Why are y'all so Black Lives Matter? What's this anger? We can tell that this is going to continue to happen until it says, what is this nation doing to God? Not the individual. What the hell is this nation doing to God that God keeps letting this happen, or this is happening to y'all? Verse 25.
Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord, God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt.
Read verse 25 again. That's the end.
Gotcha. Deuteronomy 29, verse 25. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord, God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Verse 26. For they went and served other gods and worshiped them.
We served other gods. That we made sure we served the influences. I know from religion and everything, we think other gods would be like a tiki doll or the many-breasted statue that they have in the world. No. I'm serving other influences. My waking moments, my waking thoughts is serving other influences. I'm not being influenced by the Lord God. I'm letting everything else influence me, and then I worship. I honor that way of doing things. To do it the Most High's way? To do it the Most High's way, I'm going to esteem others better than myself? What do you mean put others first? Fuck that. Let them go get it. I work hard for mine. You can work hard for yours, nigga. Because that's the American way. You're not using right wisdom. That's why you're suffering. I don't get that the Most High is testing me also. I don't get the Most High is testing me. Am I going to do right by this quote-unquote blessing? Or is this just for me? It's just for me and my comfort. See, there is, won't he do it? Yeah, y'all know that saying. That's the church saying. Won't he do it? And in church, everybody, and they say, won't he do it? Meaning, when I get a blessing, like, say if I'm up playing bingo and I win a bingo, I'll scream, won't he do it? That God, the creator of heaven and earth, made sure I won this game of bingo. Of all the bingo houses across America, this one time, he made sure I won at this house or this church or wherever, this game of bingo. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Really, you think the creative universe is the move everything. Just to have your simple ass just win a fucking game of bingo.
One day,
B-I-N-G-O. And that was God moving heaven and earth to make sure you won. Because when he do it, he knew I had a bill due. He knew I was hurting. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. And you worship, you honor that way of doing things. That's got nothing to do with the Most High. Nothing.
By reading all this, you start realizing we're not ready for the day of the Lord. We're not ready for it. Like, what I mean, that we're still here trying to be engrafted in or involved here in this sinful nation. We're trying to be a part of. You're trying to fit in to the place the Moses said he came to destroy. But you're trying to get comfortable here. You're asking to be destroyed. It's like a bomb being dropped. That bomb ain't got no name on it. That's what the Moses said, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of the plague. I'm trying to tell you, get away from her. Don't get closer. Don't get wrapped up. Don't be out there voting and everything else you're doing. He said, come out of her. So you're not partakers of the things that I'm going to hit this nation with.
Continue reading. In the middle of 26. Gods whom they knew not. And whom he had not given unto them. And verse 27. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. Verse 28. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day.
I wanted to read all the way through 28 right there. Because we're sitting here thinking like, because we got some things here in America that you're blessed, you're sick in the head. If we've been rooted out of our land in anger and in wrath, whatever it is you get, I don't care if you are Stephen the Entertainer, if you're Mayweather, the boxer, and you got millions over here. Nigga. We are not home. We're still facing the anger of the Lord. You might have something built up here in America as an American. But guess who is not blessed that? Guess who is not looking at that? The Lord God. He's still angry with us. Us. It's still wrath at us. There's still great indignation at us because we're in another land. As it is this day, June 14th, 2022, as it is today, we're still not in our homeland. The earth still ain't running by the righteousness and rules of God. God's still angry with us. I'm going to read one more verse, and then we're going to end it.
Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 14.
Yeah.
Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble.
Didn't know God said that, huh?
God loves everybody.
that's what you've been taught. God loves everybody. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. The Bible tells you, so I don't know where you get that lie from, but some of you got, you think it's so. And you still run around here in this emotional senses, but I like this person. Is there anything wrong with feeling empathy for what they might be going through? I know I've tried to bring them the Bible, but they want to hear the Bible, and now they're going through trouble, but I feel sorry for them. That we can talk about the scriptures and they don't want to hear it, don't want to deal with it. They ain't trying to hear that shit. It's a bunch of shit. They call it shit. But now they're in trouble and my heartstrings, they reach out for them. I just feel sorry for them. So now are you being pulled away from the Lord God? Because now you're going to follow your emotions. Now you're going to follow your feelings. And now you're just trying, I'm just trying to be a good person. Good in whose eyes? Good in whose eyes? All right, the timer set. Again, we are still most definitely in captivity. We've got plantation work to do this night and everything. So I do want to thank everybody who did participate in this class tonight. Whether you were online, listening in, live, I just thank Vadabab, Shar, my son Abijah. I like to thank y'all for coming in and helping read as we're trying to edify the people tonight. On this class, I might try and do one tomorrow morning. We'll see how we'll see what's going on. We'll see what's happening. If not tomorrow morning, definitely tomorrow evening, tomorrow being Wednesday, which will be my regular night anyway. I'd like to give the Most High in Christ a hand. Let me see if I can get this queued up proper. Hopefully.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
And with that, Israel, shalom.
Hail Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh is one.